Good morning. It's an honor for me to be here and speak with you today. I love Billy's sense of humor when he said, well, I want you to talk about Medicaid expansion and you have 10 minutes. You know, So I want to give just a little bit of background. As he said, we've been working on this for a number of years. And why are we working on it? Because there's a coverage gap. One of the flaws in Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act provides that if people get to 100% of poverty on up to 400%, they can get some real nice subsidies to buy private sector insurance. But those that earn less than 100% of poverty don't get any subsidies. It's a flaw in a flawed bill. And so Medicaid expansion is an option to the states to expand Medicaid and cover the people in that coverage gap between 0 and 100% of poverty. And I want to point out that who is in the coverage gap that is not currently eligible? They are adults. They are not children. People still come up and say, why do you hate children? I don't hate children. I have some of my own. I love them. And it's not children that are not eligible. If you're a child and you're here legally and your family, your household income is less than 100%, you are eligible for Medicaid. So we're talking about adults. We're talking about adults. Last year, I had the opportunity to meet with Secretary Burwell. She's President Obama's Secretary of Health and Human Services, and we met with her twice in Washington with the governor and once here in Salt Lake. And talking about Medicaid, and we said, we just want to cover the people in the coverage gap. Between 0 and 100%, we want to cover them. And she said, no, we want you to go beyond that. We want you to go all the way to 138%. We said, that doesn't make sense because the people between 100 and 138 already get really nice subsidies. So we just want to cover the people in the gap, the ones that actually are not eligible for assistance that are low income. She said, no, that's not allowed. And we had some legal analysis that said that we think it is allowed. And she said, I don't want to get into the legalities of it. It's just our policy. We're not going to allow that. And then we said, well, we need some certainty. If we did full expansion, how do we know that costs won't run out of control? And, you know, that either more people will sign up than we project or that costs themselves will increase. And we said, unlike the federal government in Utah, we balance our budget. And so we need some cost certainty. We need a cap. And I said, we need to have a cap so that we can have financial certainty in our budgetary planning and our appropriation process. And she said, there can be no cap in full expansion. And we said, she said, you just have to agree to expand, and whatever the cost is, you pay. And they, you know, the carrot is the federal government has said that they'll pay 90%, and we have to pay 10%. And that sounds good. But we said, what, our 10% of what? 10% of what figure? It's an unknown. And she said, well, there are no caps in full expansion. And we said, Let's give you an example of why we're concerned. Illinois, January 2014, did full Medicaid expansion. At that time, their fiscal analysts projected that they'd have 200,000 new enrollees under Medicaid expansion. Well, within the first several months of enrollment, they didn't have 200,000. They had 400,000. And through mid-last year, they're over 600,000. And I met with the president of the Senate legislature, and he's a great guy, and I said, you thought you were going to have 200,000 people enroll. You're well over 600,000 now. How are you going to come up with a state share? And he said, you know what? That's a good question. And now I'm confident that if we asked President Niederhauser that same question, he'd have a plan. You know, he'd have 20 different plans. And this guy's, he's a nice guy. And but to his credit, he got back to me and 2 weeks later and he said, we're just going to call it, it's kind of a gift to the doctors. We're going to say it's, you know, one for the, we're going to take one for the team and just include it in our overall budget. And I said, really? You haven't adopted a budget for over a year. You have a $6 billion shortfall in your state and you're just going to somehow absorb that. So what it really says is they don't have a plan. So I asked Secretary Burwell, I said, we have to have some budget certainty. How can we have a cap? She said, the only way that you can have a cap is if you work within your existing Medicaid structure, where the federal government pays 70% and the state pays 30% on our existing Medicaid. Now, that's not bad because many states are 50-50, and so based on our demographics, we actually have a favorable split. And I said, okay, if we work in the 70-30 realm, you pay 70, we pay 30, will you give us more flexibility? And she said, yes, because you're paying 30%, we'll give you more flexibility. And so that's what the bill this year does. House Bill 437 puts a cap. It extends our existing Medicaid plan to coverage some of those in the coverage gap, but it's subject to appropriation. So it gives us a certainty that we will appropriate a certain amount of money as a legislature, and we'll cover however many people we can cover for that, but we don't have an open-ended liability. As we look at Medicaid expansion or Medicaid extension, there's three populations that we need to keep in mind. Those that are currently not eligible, those that are currently eligible but haven't enrolled, and we call those the woodwork. They're kind of waiting and standing on the sidelines. And once their parents sign up, newly eligible parents, the woodwork are primarily kids, and they will sign up their kids. And so that's another factor that we have to factor in. And then the third category is those Utahns that are already enrolled in subsidized coverage on the federal marketplace. That's the group that make at least 100% of poverty and up to 138%. And they're important because if you do full expansion, they no longer are allowed to maintain their private sector subsidized coverage. They're compelled to go and sign up for Medicaid if they want to continue health insurance coverage. So we have right now over 34,000 Utahns that earn between 100 and 138% of poverty that are getting very good coverage, completely subsidized by the federal government. They're low income. Federal government pays all the subsidy. If we do full Medicaid expansion, they lose that coverage. They have coverage in the private sector now. They lose it, and we have to start paying 10% of the cost to add them to Medicaid. Does that matter? Do we care? Is that very many dollars? And the answer is yes. So, next slide. Looking at fiscal year 2021, and we look at 2021 because that's the first full fiscal year that our state would have to pay our 10%. You know, the states that have expanded have had a free ride up to this point. Kind of the lost leader by the federal government said, we'll pay 100% of the cost for states to expand for the first 3 years, and then after that, the states have to start paying a share. So those years were 2014, 15, and 16. So this is the last year. Starting next year, the states that have expanded, that have not had to pay anything towards it, they're going to have to start paying. So we looked at 2021, and we said when our state has to start paying 10%, what are the different populations and what will the enrollment look like? So the three categories are the newly eligible, the woodwork, those are currently eligible but enroll largely because their parents are now eligible and they sign up and they sign up their kids, and then those that are eligible for subsidized coverage that would also be compelled to lose their coverage and go into Medicaid. So by 2021, the population under House Bill 437 covers 61,000 Utahns. Full Medicaid expansion would cover 141,000. The state portion, the amount of state money that we could actually, state dollars that we could be using for other programs if we weren't doing Medicaid, are $22 million under House Bill 437 and $69 million under full Medicaid expansion. What does that draw down in federal dollars? The House Bill 437 draws down $471 million. Full expansion draws down $597 million. Next. What's really critical that you keep in mind is under House Bill 437, there'll be over 37,000 Utahns that will be able to maintain their subsidized coverage in the federal marketplace. It's platinum coverage. It's as good as you can buy in the private sector. It's private sector coverage, which is good. That means the providers, the doctors and hospitals get paid more than if we put them on Medicaid. And they will keep that. And the federal government pays all of that subsidy. If we do full Medicaid expansion, those 37,000 Utahns lose that private sector coverage, and have to go on Medicaid. What's the financial impact? We lose, as a state, $380 million that we would be receiving for those subsidies. You know, we've been after analysts for some time. If we have 34,000, and of course it's growing over time, Utahns 37,000, and the federal government is paying all for that, all that subsidy, is that much money? Is that any money to worry about? And the answer is yes. So I'm going to say this again. Currently, and if we just keep going, by 2021, we'll have 37,000 Utahns getting subsidized coverage. The federal government is sending $380 million to our state in subsidies. If we do full Medicaid expansion, those people lose their private sector coverage, they lose all of their subsidies, and you can see under full expansion, no one is covered in that private sector in the marketplace, and there are no subsidies. So yes, it is true that we draw down federal dollars by doing full expansion, but there's a huge offset against that of $380 million of lost subsidies. If you look at the cost of state dollars per enrollee, to cover the 61,000 under House Bill 437, it costs $363 per Utahn. Full expansion costs $490 per Utahn. Now and you can see the federal drawdown under House Bill 37. For every state dollar we put in, we draw down 7,000 federal dollars. Under full expansion, for every state dollar we put in, we draw down $4,000. Next. Okay, the next one. And so another thing I want you to be aware is the hospitals, and they help our state dollar numbers look better, because under House Bill 437, the hospitals have agreed to pay 45% of the state share, which is $13.6 million. They have agreed to pay 0% under full expansion because, like Utah and the taxpayers that we represent, they don't like an unlimited liability. They want certainty. And so they were willing to pay $13.5 million, 45% of the state share, because we have a cap built in, we have a circuit breaker, we have budget certainty. So if you factor in the hospital share, the state will be contributing $44 million under House Bill 437, full expansion's $84 million. That raises the state per person cost to $722 versus the $596. But we have to keep in mind that those are not taxpayer dollars that are increasing that amount. It's the hospitals and share. Just in full disclosure, I wanted to include that. So the net result is it's a big loss for Utah to do full expansion, because we will lose about $400 million of subsidies that are coming to our state. And the federal government, you know, doesn't have to pay those anymore. One of the questions I've been asking for some time is, why is the federal government so interested in us doing full expansion rather than partial? Well, this is one of the reasons right here, because when we do full expansion, they're off the hook for sending those $400 million in subsidies. So I think the map and the path that we started this year in House Bill 437 is a very good process. It respects the taxpayers, gives us budget certainty, and holds on to that $380 million of subsidies in addition to the newly eligible under the Medicaid Extension Program. Thank you for your time.